God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Midweek Power Nugget, where 15 minutes of your day can change, will change your entire life. We are grateful to God to still be alive. We are grateful to God to still have another day. We are grateful to God that He has awakened us from our slumber and has given us the ability to move forward into a new day with new mercies that we see with our spiritual eyes and we experience with our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we love you today and we bless you. We thank you, God, for thinking of us on this morning, having us on your mind when you woke us up this morning with your fingertip of love. God, there are many that wouldn't be able to say that, and they are being prepared to go to the cemetery to be funeralized. But God, you have still given us life, and we will never be able to earn it, never be able to persuade you to give it, never be able to negotiate another moment. But God, it was already written in our days that we will still be here, and we are forever grateful. God, we thank you. Thank you, God, for keeping us and sparing us, not just through last night, but through yesterday, through last week, through this month, through this first quarter of the year that we're quickly coming to a close in. God, you have been gracious and kind, and we just don't have enough time to be able to tell all that you've done. But we're hoping right now that the thank you will suffice. Now, God, as we go into your word on today, God, I pray that you will strengthen my voice, God, that I might be able to speak to your people. God, we pray on today that you will be able to open the ears and hearts of your people, that they might be able to hear what it is that you are sharing with them. We bless you today, God, and we love you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Again, we just thank God for being alive. If you think about it, there are so many that are not, but we still are. And for that, above anything else, you ought to give God thanks. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. We're going to read four verses from that chapter. Corinthians, second chapter, starting at verse 12. And we may read this from a couple of different versions, but preferably you'll be able to pick up, it's five verses. You'll be able to pick up what the Lord is saying to us on today. 1 Corinthians, second chapter, starting at the 12th verse. Reading from the New American Standard Bible in the beginning, says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Let me read from the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation again. 1 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 12. "And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. And we'll stop here. The word of the Lord, as always, is blessed. On this morning, I want to talk to you about following your first mind. Following your first mind. There is a saying that I've always heard coming up. I particularly hear it in our African-American houses, families, especially among mothers and grandmothers, and those females that were the wise sages in homes. And once I say it, you'll know. Matter of fact, when I say it, the devotional title, I'm pretty sure you know what I'm about to say. I should have followed my first mind. Have you ever heard that? I should have followed my first mind. Matter of fact, you might have said it yourself. It's often said with a sigh, or might have been said with a little bit of disappointment after something went wrong. It's a warning we ignored, a hunch we dismissed, a sense that we second-guessed. That following your first mind is deeply rooted, that our initial instinct about something is the purest, most honest response to a situation. And in a lot of ways, it came from generations of people who didn't always have the, I'm going to say it like this, the luxury of analyzing a situation. Being enslaved and oppressed, our African ancestors had to rely on spiritual intuition, you know, what the old folks would call their gut. But over time, it shifted, and following your first mind became shorthand for doing what you feel. And sometimes that can run contrary to what God wills for your life. And today's scripture pushes us to a higher way of thinking. Paul, in this letter to the church in Corinth, he teaches that we have the mind of Christ, not just instincts, but spirit-led insights. And you all, that's the difference. See, the world teaches us to go with our gut, but the word teaches us to grow in God. So let's look at this thing. Let's unpack it really quickly about what it means to think like Jesus and how thinking like him can change the way we live, the way we lead, the way we love. Let's talk about these three concepts, the difference between following your first mind and forming the mind of Christ. First of all, you all, the first mind is natural, but the spiritual mind is nurtured. That's what verse 12 tells us, that we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. You all, your first mind often rises from your natural self, you know, your personality, your past, your preferences. It's not always wrong, but y'all, it's not always right either. Let's just be honest. It's that quick response. It's that clap back. Come on now. It's that decision based on how you feel at the moment. But you all, the mind of Christ, that's nurtured. It doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from your flesh. It doesn't come from your feelings. It comes from the spirit. And you all, that takes discipline. You can't receive the things of God if you're only operating on your default settings. What worked for your flesh won't walk you into your future. You all, are you reacting from instinct, or are you responding through insight of the word and how God wants us to live? And not only is your first mind natural, spiritual mind is nurtured, but you all, the first mind is limited. First mind is limited, but the spiritual mind, yeah, that's illuminated, that's lighted. The scripture says in verse 14, but a natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to them. Can't understand them. You all, your natural mind, it's only going to take you so far. It might help you survive, but it won't teach you how to thrive. And that's not what we don't want to just survive. We don't want to just live. We don't want to just exist, but we want to live. We want to learn how to thrive. See, that first mind might help you to protect yourself, but that first mind cannot push you into your purpose in God. But that spiritual mind, is enlightened, is illuminated. It sees what your natural mind cannot. It discerns what's underneath the hood, what's underneath the surface. You all, Jesus never rushed into decisions. He saw the heart of people. He waited, he prayed, and he walked with wisdom. You all, listen, our first mind will tell us to quit, to cut somebody off, to clap back. But the mind of Christ might tell you to forgive. Ah, there it goes again, that F word. Yeah, to forgive, to speak truth in love, or to simply be still. Here's this last thing of the difference of following your first mind versus forming the mind of Christ. That first mind is flesh-driven, but that spiritual mind is Christ-centered. That's what the last verse, verse 16, told us. It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Y'all, let's just be real. Come on, let's be honest. Our first mind is usually all about us. It's about us. It's about how we feel. It's about what we want. It's about what makes us comfortable. It's shaped by our past trauma. It's shaped by our wisdom. It's shaped by our personal observations. It's shaped by our emotions. It's me. It's all about me. But we have to understand that the mind of Christ, it's not about comfort. That's about calling. I want you to think about it. What would have happened if Jesus was led by his feelings? We wouldn't be where we are today. We wouldn't have the freedom to go before the throne of grace. We would not have access to the tree of life. See, you all, Jesus wasn't led by feelings, and I'm glad about it, because the way he was treated by man, we would not have freedom. We would not have salvation that was free to us. He would not have died for us. He wasn't led by feelings. He was led by faithfulness. By faithfulness. You ought to have the mind of Christ means we have to ask honestly, come on, you know it. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus think about the situation? How would he handle this tension, handle this stress, handle this temptation, handle this opportunity? You all, the Holy Ghost gives us access to that mind, but we have to submit to it. Many of us feel like if God wants me to do such and such, then he'll make me. No, he won't. No, God doesn't make you do anything. The Spirit doesn't make you do anything. You have to submit. You have to surrender to it. And that's how transformation begins. It's not just by doing what feels right. It's by doing what is right in God's sight. So what do we do with all of this? It's real simple. You got to stop relying on your first mind and start forming the mind of Christ. Pray. Pray before you jump into something. Don't just react. Pause and pray for the mindset, the perspective. How should I see this thing, God? Search the Word. Search the Scriptures. You won't think like Jesus unless you study how Jesus thinks. Make sense? And then ask the Holy Ghost to check you. Ask the Holy Ghost to be your second thought, to help you to pause so that you can have that second thought, so that that second thought becomes your first move and not your first mind. So listen, when you're tempted to go with your gut, ask God, God, is this from you? Let the Holy Ghost slow you down enough to save you from self-sabotage. Don't follow your first mind, but form the mind of Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you today. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, who teaches us and corrects us and shapes us into the image of Christ. We realize that oftentimes we trust our first mind more than we trust you. And God, forgive us for the times that we leaned on our own understanding and didn't lean on yours. Help us today as we go about our day to really think about how you want us to think and how you want us to respond. And then help us to do it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have an amazingly God-blessed day. In Jesus' name.